Okay, great. I'd like to call the meeting to order for the Housing and Transportation Committee, July 8th, 2021. My name is Sandy Stang. The meeting will be recorded and we'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance. I asked Gary Frazier, but he's not gonna be here today. I wonder if Cynthia, would you like to do it?
Yes, I would.
Great, thank you.
Put your hand over your heart. Should I get a flag or is my background gonna be okay?
The background's perfect.
I pledge allegiance to the United States of America
and to the Republic for which it stands. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Thank you, Cynthia. Linda Barcelona will be joining us later on, but Elizabeth has offered to do the roll call for us.
Okay, Elizabeth Busick, present. Helen Cameron.
Present.
Okay. Amelia Castro. Absent. Amelia, absent. Jerry Chang.
Present.
Gary Frazier, he's absent. And Nancy Herman.
Present.
Okay. And Jean Hernandez.
Present.
Carolyn Inman. Carolyn, oh no, she's in a different committee now. Juno Kim.
Yes, present.
Jennifer Wang. Absent. Scott Quinlan. Jeanette Rivilla.
Present.
And Sandy Stang.
Present.
Dave Etzloff.
Present.
Cynthia Thacker.
Here.
Denise Barnes. Denise. Absent. And Amina St. Matthews.
I'm here.
Okay, thank you.
Elizabeth, this is Amelia. I'm on.
Oh, you're here.
Oh, Amelia's yes. Here. Okay.
Yes.
Sorry about that.
Thank you. Okay. All right. So we have a quorum. Right. Okay.
Okay, thank you, Elizabeth. Introductions. I don't believe we have any. Do we have any introductions that I might have missed? Okay. Then we'll go to our report from Jeanette.
Good morning, everyone. Can everyone see my screen by any chance?
Yes.
Okay, yes, perfect. Yes.
Thank you. Okay, so I'm going to share. I have four reports to go over because we were dark in June. So please bear with me. I'm going to try to make it as exciting as possible for everyone. So let's start with the stats for March of 2021. Area 1 had 2,295 trips provided. Area 2 had 2,044 trips provided. And Area 3 had 3,434 trips provided. The average cost per trip for Area 1 is $50.90. Area 2 is $45.41. And Area 3 is $46.71. The average trip length for Area 1 is 6.02 miles. Area 2 is 8.38 miles. And Area 3 is 5.55 miles. The average cost per mile for Area 1 is $8.46. Area 2 is $5.42. And Area 3 is $8.41. I'm going to move on to April and May, and then I'll hold for questions before I move on to my last report. So for April 2021, Area 1 served or provided 2,222 trips. Area 2 provided 2,110 trips. And Area 3 had 3,331 trips. The average cost per trip for Area 1 is $52.04, Area 2 is $47.08, and Area 3 is $45.15. For average trip length, Area 1 had 6.18 miles, Area 2 had 8.68 miles, and Area 3 had 5.35 miles. The average cost per mile for Area 1 is $8.42, Area 2 is $5.42, and Area 3 is $8.43. And the last stats report is going to be for the month of May. The trips provided for the month of May for Area 1 is 2,068 trips. Area 2 is 2,113 trips. Area 3 is 3,070 trips. The average cost per trip in Area 1 is $51.92. Area 2 is $45.05, and Area 3 is $45.32. The average trip length for Area 1 is 6.16 miles. Area 2 is 8.32 miles, and Area 3 is 5.39 miles. And lastly, the average cost per mile for Area 1 is $8.43. Area 2 is $5.41, and Area 3 is $8.41. So before I move on to my next couple of reports, does the committee have any questions so far about these before I move on to the other reports? Like, I have like year-end stats that I would like to provide you. Okay.
I have my hand raised.
Oh, I'm sorry, Helen. I didn't see that. Okay, go ahead.
I have a question about, are you tracking whether people are going for vaccinations or not as part of this process?
Yes, I actually am going to discuss that in the next part of my report. So yes, okay. I am going to provide you guys with the updated stats for vaccinations.
Thank you. Okay.
No problem. Does anyone else have a question? Okay, okay, I'll move on. So I just wanted to provide the year-to-date vaccination trips for COVID vaccination for each area. And year-to-date, is, you know, as you all know, I believe they started really providing trips for COVID vaccine pods and even doctor's offices for actual just vaccinations itself as of January for some of them. So Area 1 had a total year-to-date of 1,266 trips for COVID vaccination. Area 2 had 164 trips for COVID vaccination, and Area 3 had 2,290 trips for COVID vaccination. And I just wanted to briefly recap that these are just trips that we offered through the Senior Non-Emergency Medical Transportation Program. That doesn't necessarily mean that they did not provide any other trips for COVID vaccination, particularly Area 1 and Area 3 for Abrazar. They actually had a partnership with, I believe, with Santa Ana College and also with Mecca. So they are able to outreach to a lot more people. It's just that they're not under the SNEMT program. So I'm not reporting on that. Elizabeth, you have your hand up?
Yes. You said this was from January 1st through what, May 30th?
As of today, actually.
Today, thank you.
Yeah, thanks. As of yesterday, I apologize. I just wanted to go over, this is the last report that I wanted to go over. So every year, the Senior Non-Emergency Medical Transportation Program actually releases a customer satisfaction survey. So that's one of our goals, of course, is to make sure that, you know, we're serving everyone and we're serving them in the best possible way. If you guys can still see my screen, right? There should be an infographic. Okay, perfect. So I just wanted... So this survey is actually done through SurveyMonkey. So far, honestly, only maybe 11 people or participants directly responded to SurveyMonkey. So everything else was basically hard-coded in. So everything else, like they mailed it to us, and we hard-coded to SurveyMonkey. So all in all, we had 488 total surveys collected. So it's a significant drop from last year because unfortunately, even the active clients this year dropped this fiscal year because of COVID-19. So a lot of trip cancellations and a lot of cancellations from the doctor's offices themselves. However, the great news is the overall total overall satisfaction is 98.93%. It's actually a significant increase from last year. I believe last year was about 96 or 97%. So even though we're going through, a decrease in ridership due to COVID, I'm glad to at least know that they're appreciating the customer service that they're receiving from our providers. The respondents by provider on this area, and let me know if you need me to enlarge it a little. Let me see if I can enlarge it a little bit. There you go. The respondents by provider, 22.54% of the respondents were from Area 1 North. Area 3 has 29.71 respondents, and Area 2, South County, had the most respondents, clocking it at 47.75%. And the transportation services overall, their overall satisfaction, pretty much 82.22% are very satisfied and 16.70% are satisfied, with less than 1% for dissatisfied and very dissatisfied. So this is just some very, like I said, very broad strokes infographic that we like to provide to our to our service providers and to our other committees. We did provide a more detailed report to each of our providers, including comments, and I can make those available at you know, your request as well. But essentially, that's it for my report today. And thank you all for your attention. Helen, you have your hand up?
Yes, I do. Thank you. I was wondering what the process is if there's a rider who has a concern about not being picked up. I happened to be having dinner last week with a friend who is legally blind, mm-hmm. and his ride never came. He ended up calling a taxi and ended up one of our party had to drive him home. And I don't know, you know, I know he was in contact with the station who was authorizing it, but what's the process when you know there's been a failure in the service in a particular instance? How do you address that?
So the way we address it is, of course, you know, the participant has to reach out to their applicable provider. What the provider normally does is they actually have emergency services. So say, for example, if an appointment runs late or for some reason or another, like a ride wasn't able to be provided, I know they have emergency subcontractors that they can arrange for to pick up the person. But if they are still unable to be picked up, you know, definitely have them reach out to if they can't get a hold of the providers, please have them reach out to me because I'm the person overseeing that program and I can myself follow up with the provider. You know, unfortunately, at the time that, depending on the time of the day, if say, for example, it's at 6 o'clock at night and they're not able to get a hold of them, and you know, I might not be able to do a lot about it, but we can definitely avoid this in the future. And please reach out to me if he's not able to get a hold of anyone in the applicable provider, that's the SNEMT provider. And I myself will reach out to the manager there and have them resolve this situation.
Thank you, Jeanette. Unfortunately, this has happened before with the same gentleman's, and a taxi was called and it never showed up either. So we need to give you the specifics of it. Yes. I'll have him contact you to give you the specifics.
Yes, please. Yes. And do you have my email, my phone number and all that? I could provide that as well for everyone.
Thank you. That'd be helpful because it was a dangerous situation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we want to hear about scenarios like this so we can improve on, you know, our services because, right. you know, we don't want anyone stranded. And that's the main goal of our, you know, one of the main goals of our program is to not leave anyone stranded, especially if a ride has been scheduled, because these are very important. And, you know, it is a very vulnerable population that we serve.
Right.
We don't want to leave them out in the lurch.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Does anyone else have any questions, perhaps?
That's a really good report, Jeanette.
And oh,
I like
thank
how
you.
Positive the survey was. Did they happen to mention on the survey what they weren't happy with?
Some of them are just one-offs. Like some of them are, I guess, more feedback that we really can't, unfortunately, for under this program, we can't do anything about. Like some of them wanted maybe a trip to the barber shop. Some of them wanted a trip to the grocery store. Unfortunately, we're not able to do that. Some of them maybe had wanted, you know, like say maybe if it's too fast, the drive, if they think the driver was, yeah, it was too, like too, you know, the, you know, some very minor issues, and some actually are, you know, maybe it's one of those that are something maybe fell through with the scheduling. And what we did is for those specific instances, we actually, it's included in the report and our providers are supposed to follow up with them as well. So anything that's like, because anything that's been consented to by the participant, because the participants can provide feedback, but if they don't want to be contacted about it, we just say these are, you know, feedback that's for information only. You can't unfortunately follow up with a participant because they did not consent to have you follow up. But the ones that do provide a follow up, like a go ahead to follow up, we actually include that in our report and tell the providers, can you please follow up and confirm that this has been resolved?
Oh, okay. That's very good to know.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's all in their report. The report is pretty comprehensive. So yeah. So it's just, that's why I just presented the infographic because it's just very,
right.
You know, like, yeah, but yeah. And like I said, the reports can be made available to the group if the group is interested, and I can definitely provide that to Jenna to share with everyone.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
No
Anybody
problem.
Else have any questions for Jeanette? Okay, thank you very much, Jeanette.
Thank you.
And then we'll go on to number six, the presentation from Holden Senior Housing, Anaheim Hills. Were they able to get online?
Yes, he's right here.
Everybody. Oh, great. Elizabeth, do you want to do the introduction?
Well, how do you pronounce your first name?
Zeeshan.
Zeeshan. Okay, everybody sees that.
Thanks for asking.
Contacted me because he works for a company that is trying to have senior housing and also housing for people with dementia. And when he shows you this thing, you go, oh, how beautiful. Oh, my goodness. But there seems to be some opposition from people who live in the neighborhood. So he wants to talk with all of us. So Zeeshan, would you take it from here? Because you can speak much better than I can about your program and your situation.
Absolutely, and thank you. Good morning, Mr. Mayor and Madam Chair and Advisory Council members. So grateful to be here and so thankful for Elizabeth's leadership in allowing me the opportunity to discuss Holden Anaheim Hills with you this morning. My name is Zeeshan Yunus, as mentioned. I work for Kurt Pringle and Associates. We're a government relations and land use firm based out of Anaheim. We've been working with our developer partner, Alliance Residential Company, for 18 months on this project. And they came to us because they're interested in developing high quality senior housing in Anaheim Hills. And they knew with working with other developers that Anaheim Hills has a potentially kind of rocky past with being traditionally anti-development on a lot of things. And they wanted to make sure that they worked with us to get a good look and feel for the community, understand how it could be integrated appropriately, and to make sure that it was a project that they felt people could get behind. So with that being said, I'd love to get approval to share my screen here. I have a presentation I would really like to show everyone, if that's okay, Madam Chair.
Yes, that would be fine. Thank you.
Thank you. Perfect. So let me know if everyone sees this.
Yes.
Yes.
Wonderful. So a little bit about the team behind this project, and I'm sorry that two other representatives weren't able to join us. They had conflicts that were scheduled a few months ago. That being said, Alliance Residential Company is the developer, builder, and owner of this project. That means that they are boots on the ground from before it starts, while it's occurring, and throughout the entirety of its life. So this isn't a developer that comes in and builds a project and leaves it to kind of turn into whatever it may turn into. They are hat in hand all throughout the process. And if anyone has worked in this field previously, you probably understand how rare it is to have a developer like this. And it's really awesome for me to report that Michael Wilborn with Alliance Residential Company has been in every single city meeting with me for over 18 months. So there is no detail on this project that he isn't aware of, and nobody that he hasn't met yet when it comes to the actual processes and protocols of this project. Shelter LLP is our architect, Gladys Bowen. You may recognize Shelter as they were the architect for Emerald Court in Anaheim, which is a really wonderful community. And also members of the Alliance team also worked on Emerald Court. And as I mentioned, my name is Zeeshan Yunus, and I've been working as a consultant to both of these developers and the architect to represent the project. A little bit about Alliance Residential Company. They have 15 regional offices throughout the US. They're headquartered in Phoenix, but have a local office here in Irvine. They have three kind of brands that they develop and build. One is Broadstone, which is kind of a top of the market, traditional residential and rental. Pros, which is kind of the middle income, low income housing. And then Holden, which is what we'll be talking about today, which is their senior housing brand and arm. They have two Holden projects that are currently in the works. One is in Laguna Niguel that has gotten through its entitlement process and is kind of racing towards final development stages. And then Holden Anaheim Hills, which is what we'll be talking about today. So a little bit of what and where on the project. If any of you are familiar with Anaheim Hills, you may recognize this church. It's the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. It's on the corner of Knoll Ranch and Royal Oak. And this is kind of the church's footprint. This is a little bit what it looks like. And also, if you're familiar with the area, you may recall that there is a pretty traditional grade dissension here. So right here, if you see my mouse cursor at the bottom left on Knoll Ranch, is going to be the highest point of the existing grade. And down here at Royal Oak is where it kind of slopes down. I would say that there's a difference of maybe 12 to 15 feet from the top portion of the site all the way to the bottom. And this is what the existing church looks like right now. At its highest point, it's about 30 feet, which is along this roof line here. So I kind of want to give a little bit of perspective in regards to where the community concern is coming from. So about 18 months ago, before we developed this project or even submitted an entitlement package, we did door-to-door knocking for the individuals immediately around the site. And unfortunately, we were met with a lot of opposition through the gate. Many of them stated to us directly that, regardless of what we were building, they would not support it. They don't want any change occurring in their backyard, and they want the church to exist exactly as it has been for the last 40 years. That kind of came from the individuals up here, which are on the west side, and then individuals here below, which are on the north side. And a little bit more perspective here, in between the north residence and our site, there is an additional gas line easement for the city of Anaheim, which is about 30 feet. So we're not allowed to build in that whatsoever, but it is a great buffer for separating the residential areas to our project. And to their word of the opposition, they have, done everything that they can to get in front of this project. And they believe it to be, from their words, the worst thing that could possibly happen to Anaheim Hills. They currently have signs that are throughout all the adjacent neighborhoods with a tagline that says, "Keep Anaheim safe," with an overarching theme that, senior care does not belong in residential neighborhoods, and they would prefer it to be pushed out to commercial or industrial areas. So that being said, I really want to move on to talking about exactly what Holden Anaheim Hills is. We are a two-story senior living community providing assisted living and memory care services. We have 118 units. That's split between 94 assisted living and 24 memory care. It is all for rent. It's not for sale. Our goal has been to provide top-of-the-line residential care and community amenities. We really wanted to fit within the fabric of Anaheim Hills and make sure that it was a project that that filled a gap for everybody that's looking to age in place and not have to move out of a community that they grew up and love. It is professionally managed by an operator called Milestone. Some of you may be familiar with Milestone. They have a pretty significant footprint in this field. And our goal is to provide residents with helps of activity of daily living. So that's bathing, dressing, medication management, housekeeping services, and then 24-hour monitoring and private transportation. So the overarching theme of this project is it is a residential community and it is a social experience. It is not a convalescent home. It is not a rest home. It is the next phase in social living before a senior does require higher levels of intensive care. And I do want to show a little bit about what the look and feel is of this project. So this is our entry. This is our one entrance and one out. This is kind of the entrance to our lobby. Alliance Residential Company has done a pretty substantial survey of the adjacent neighborhoods, looking at the plants, looking at the architecture, and wanted to create a building that fit within the fabric of Anaheim Hills and didn't stick out like a sore thumb, but instead kind of felt like a natural extension of living. So this is our main entrance. This is entered off of Knoll Ranch Road. This is kind of our cross section that's on Knoll Ranch and Royal Oak. You'll see that there is a pretty tremendous landscaping footprint here. You know, our goal is to really beautify this corner. It is our understanding that no matter what, this church is going to be sold and it will be developed. And our goal is to build a really great senior project there, as we believe it's exactly what the community needs. A little bit more of the look and feel. This is the interior courtyard. This is specifically our assisted living wing. So, you know, there's a huge emphasis made on placemaking. We want it to feel like home. We want it to feel like, you know, exactly what your backyard would look like if you had the opportunity to build it yourself. Drought tolerant plants, a really wonderful facade, and kind of bolstering up a social experience, as I mentioned. And last but not least, for the look and feel, this is kind of what our interior space is to look like. For reference, these pictures are from Holden Laguna Niguel. As I mentioned, that's kind of through its entitlement process and moving to the next phases of being developed. Here on the right-hand side, you'll have the actual apartments and what they'll look like. There's a kitchenette. There are a few different sizes. We have a studio, we have a one-bedroom, and then we do have a two-bedroom. This is kind of the communal dining space. And then what we have down here at the bottom left is what we call the discovery room, which is where family can come and hang out if they want to spend time with their loved ones and don't want to be in the room, or if they just want to hang out in a social setting with other members of the community. Are there any questions on the look and feel or the intent of this project and kind of what it is that I may answer before we move on?
I have a question. Is the living space and the sleeping space, is that all in one area?
So that's a great question, Madam Chair. There are a few different layouts. So this layout that you're looking at right now is the studio space. There is a one bedroom space that also has a divider. And then we also have two bedrooms available as well.
Okay. And then the kitchen, is that like, does that include a microwave or a stove or anything, or is it just a refrigerator?
So the kitchen is more like a kitchenette. It'll depend on the type of care. For more than likely for the memory care, there will not be a microwave, which is what you're looking at here. For assisted living, there will be a sink, a fridge, and a microwave, but none of the rooms will have a stove.
Okay.
Part of the amenities for Holden Anaheim Hills, and you're welcome. Part of the amenities for Holden Anaheim Hills and all of the Holden packages in general is that the all of the meals, all of the interior space and all of the amenities are baked into the rent. So, you know, we want to really have kind of a resort style footprint with all of the trimmings of a more traditional residential footprint. So hopefully that answers your question a little better.
Yes, thank you.
And I did see a question here in the chat regarding if you can get a copy of this PowerPoint, I'd be happy to send it to everyone. I'd be sending it to Elizabeth and Madam Chair here, and then we can send it out to everyone else.
Great.
Send it to Jenna, and then Jenna will send it out to everybody.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Okay. And Dave has his hand up.
Yeah, I have a question. Is there going to be broadband in each unit, or is there just broadband connection, internet connection available to each of the residents' facilities?
Absolutely, yes, there will be.
Okay, and that will be in each room?
Yes, so there will be a Wi-Fi network that covers the entire property, and that will be included in the rent as well. All of those costs are baked in, and that will have access for every resident and every staff member and every visitor.
All right, thank you.
Of course. Perfect. So I want to move on here to kind of our site plan. I'd like for you all to understand how from the initial get-go of this project, we really listened to those community concerns. And it was our hope that we were able to build a project that would win some of them over. And possibly that was, you know, us being idealistic, which is, I guess, a good thing to feel. But we did all of our interior amenities as far away from residents as possible. We activated the corner on the street side to provide the dining, AL living, and the main kitchen here. So some of the complaints that we received, you know, when we brought this to Planning Commission was that people 150 feet away were going to be smelling food from the kitchen, or that individuals that were going to be here on the second floor were going to be staring out of their windows and creeping on their children in the backyard, or that people from memory care were going to be breaking out and climbing up the hill and breaking into homes. So that's kind of the response that we've had to trying to bring senior living to Anaheim Hills, unfortunately, from these immediate neighbors and a lot of their vocal supporters. I'm happy to say that we've had an equally really wonderful large group of people who are very supportive of this and have sent a lot of comments and feedback to the City Council. But that being said, you know, we are maintaining the existing arteries. So we are keeping the entrance on Knoll Ranch and Royal Oak. We want it to be as least disruptive as possible. We wanted to make sure that everything felt as close to the church footprint as we could possibly get it. And just a little bit of detail in regards to what some of the more operational concerns have been. We've had people talking about the parking concerns. They've had concerns about the noise, and they've had concerns about traffic. And I'll be able to address all of those as well. But I want to let you know that just in case you're viewing this presentation and anything comes to mind and you feel like, hey, you know, maybe that is a valid concern, please make a note of it and let me know. I'd be happy to address it here as we've done a lot of work on making sure we handle all of those. Are there any questions here on the site plan or kind of what the site looks like before I move on?
Yeah, I have a quick question, Gene Hernandez. Do the residents know that something's going to go there and the least offensive is senior housing? I don't think they have a clue what could go in there. They don't. We hear this over and over again. They don't own the land. Until you own the land, you know, then you can say what you want to do with it. But if you don't own it, you've got to be reasonable. And this, that's a beautiful project you've got going. I'm shocked that there are people upset that that's what's going to go in there. Traffic. Seniors, very rarely they drive around. You get some visitors during the day, but that's it. I'll tell you, they need a wake-up call.
And thanks for that, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, so to answer your first question, they absolutely do know other uses, and they do know that no matter what happens here, something will be developed. I believe that their perspective is that they are going to oppose every project that comes here with the full might that they can muster, whether that's our project, whether that's traditional residential. And I wanted to get to this slide, and we'll look at the last point very quickly before I talk about some of the other things. But the existing RH3 zoning allows for what we believe to be much more intensive uses than something like senior living. RH3 allows for alcoholism or drug abuse recovery and treatment facilities, low-income supportive and traditional housing, sober living, and even automotive sales. So, you know, there is a perspective that they don't really care, that no matter what comes here, they don't want any change in their backyard, and they would like the church to exist as is. And to their credit, you know, the church has not been active for many, many years. So they have had a completely vacant church in their backyard for a long time. But, you know, COVID changed the face of a lot of these churches, and this church was struggling and they needed to put it on the market. And we were the people that came in and wanted to redevelop it into something that we believe is the best and highest use of this site. And I hope that answers your question, Mr. Mayor.
It does. Thank you. I appreciate that. And again, like I say, I don't think they're being realistic in their thinking, especially when they say we'll oppose everything. Well, you don't own it. And until you own it, yeah, then you can put what you want there. But usually something like this, what they really want in there, they'd like a little pocket park for their use. I guarantee you that's what's going to come up.
Of course. And you know, they have not really been interested in hearing the facts on this project. You know, we are a residential care facility for the elderly. So we have a state license. We are residential by definition all across the board. The residential care facility for the elderly license allows us to fall within the RH3 zoning. We worked with city staff on day one. They designated our use case and they said, hey, we don't even think that this needs to go to council. We believe all you require is a conditional use permit because you fall with the intent of the code. And just for reference, as far as where we are today, we did get a very strong and kind staff recommendation, and I'd be happy to send that out to anyone who's interested. And then we are also approved by Planning Commission for a conditional use permit.
So the city council supports you?
Our city council meeting, Mr. Mayor, is on July 20th. So part of the reason for this is really a call to action to see if we can get some support communicating to the council. I'll have a petition a little bit later on in this presentation that I'd love for everybody and anyone to sign. And additionally, if anybody is free on July 20th to attend an Anaheim City Council meeting in person, I cannot stress to you enough how far that would go for us. We anticipate 50 or 60 people with coordinated signs and t-shirts opposing senior housing. And as I mentioned, their tagline is keep Anaheim safe. So they believe that seniors in their community, you know, safe community.
Yeah.
Man, could you find a safer group of people?
Yeah, exactly.
I was just going to say, so I was going to ask you that question. The church has been empty for many years?
Correct. The church has probably been in existence for, I would say, about 40 years. And I would say the last 5 to 10, it has been nearly empty or totally just vacant for the most part. Yeah. So a lot of the wards for the Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints have moved on to other churches nearby, and this one was just struggling. And, you know, when COVID hit, they figured that they weren't able to maintain the site anymore and put it out to bid. And they agreed that senior living would be kind of a great extension of their mission as a church.
Okay, thanks.
You're very welcome. And just very quickly here, I wanted to give all of you kind of an understanding of what the senior supply is in Anaheim Hills for assisted living and memory care. There are two other similar facilities, Meridian at Anaheim Hills, which was built in 1989, Brookdale Knoll Ranch, which was built in 1987. Both of these senior communities have very significant parking variances, meaning that the city has required them to have X amount, but instead they've offered a significantly lower amount and the city has still approved that. Our facility is also requiring a parking variance, and that's because none of our residents will have vehicles. Out of all of the 118 units, only two of our units are allowed vehicles, and that's based off of a survey for assisted living and memory care for what the need is for the community. So we don't have a parking issue at all whatsoever. We have done tremendous parking studies that show visitors, caregivers, third-party vendors, everything and everyone that you can imagine. And we still have a 24/7, 365 surplus across the board. The perspective on parking and traffic is that 85-year-olds will be driving their vehicles into nearby homes, or that they'll be causing accidents, or that... you know, they'll be racing onto the streets, or that their visitors will be causing congestion and filling up the roads 24/7, 365.
I'm sure.
So I just want to give somebody, you know, some of you a reference. You know, the future of senior housing is assisted living, memory care, and independent living within residential footprints. You know, developers are tired of feeling forced to push out seniors into industrial and commercial areas. So this is a nearby community in Tustin, surrounded on almost every side by single family homes. A project in Yorba Linda, Mr. Mayor, I'm sure is very familiar with, surrounded by single family homes. The project in Brea, surrounded by single family homes. This is the future of assisted living and memory care. It's not pushing out seniors. It's allowing them to age in place and feel comfortable within the fabric of the community that they grew up in. And I want to be sensitive to time here, and I know that you all must have a very busy agenda. I have talking points on the building issues. I have talking points on the noise, parking, traffic, and fire. Is there anything in specific that we feel we'd like to address today before I kind of move on to our call to action? I don't want to go through all these slides unless there's a very specific interest in any of these portions. And if so, I'd love to dive into it.
There are two hands up. Helen has had her hand up for some time.
Morning, Helen.
Morning. This looks like a beautiful and much needed community. I'm with Jamboree Housing, and we develop affordable housing in Anaheim. We have a number of senior communities, and the need that you are filling, I believe, is a much needed need. So I would be happy to be supportive of this. Wondering if you have some conversation about the rental rates and what it will cost. As you know, we work in affordable communities, and I know this is market rate. So could you describe a little bit more about what the cost of the units are, the range?
Thanks for that, Helen, and thanks for the kind words. And thank you for the hard work that you do for Jamboree. We're very familiar with your team and work with them very closely, and the work that you all do is tremendously valuable. That being said, you know, the market rate, this is on the upper end of the market rate because it does fall within Anaheim Hills. There was a survey of about 100 other communities that are within similar economic demographics. So I believe our studio starts at about $4,000 to $4,500 per month. And that goes up depending on the size of the rental, as well as the type of care required. So it is kind of a bespoke package. But what's baked into that rent is, you know, the utilities, all of the amenities. And some of those amenities include, you know, multiple dining areas. There's private chauffeurs. There is private laundry service. There is kind of bespoke care therapeutically. And then there's also some entertainment options as well. So that's kind of the range that we're starting at for the studios. And because we're about 3 years from what we anticipate will be kind of a potential building, it's hard to say what the one bedroom and two bedrooms will look like because we know that market will fluctuate, but we do believe the studios will start at around that price, and then everything else will be reflective of the size of the room. Hope that answers your question. So one other thing I wanted to mention here, you know, we've had a lot of community concern about this being what they call a monstrosity. They said it was putting lipstick on a pig. And these are all words that they've used publicly at public hearings about this project. I want to show everybody what the city calls a required setback. And if you're not familiar with municipal planning, the required setback is the bare minimum distance you have between your property and the development or the property line of somebody else. So our most vocal opposition is right here. And we have a required setback of 6 feet. So we essentially could have built 6 feet outside of his window. What we did was build it 80 feet away from him. On the north side, we are 90 feet nearly from our property line. And then in addition, there's a 30-foot gas easement, which is what I mentioned earlier. So we're at almost 120 feet from the nearest property line, and that doesn't include their backyard. So these are individuals that are saying that they're going to be swimming in their pool, and people at their second floor window are going to be staring at them and taking pictures of their daughters and their sons. And right here, you know, there's a privacy concern that they believe that, you know, people in assisted living are going to jump out of their windows and jump up into their backyard nearby. So that's kind of a little bit about where our building footprint is, how far we are, and how we exceed those setback requirements by a significant amount. We also fall totally in line with the very strict height requirements of Anaheim Hills. Anaheim Hills has a 20-foot maximum height requirement in this specific area of the city, and we fall within that across the board. We made sure that we did not request a variance on height because we understood that that was very important to the nearby community. And I wanted to show just very quickly here, we did a drone rendering. So we kind of did something similar to Google where we put a drone above our property and then sourced all the data. And we wanted to show the neighbor what it would look like. So this neighbor says that we're obliterating his view, that this would be a monstrosity, as I mentioned. So this is his current perspective. And this is the perspective with our building. We've maintained the view. We've updated the landscaping. We maintain the slope. So if you kind of see what they're looking at, you know, this is what their biggest concern is. You know, they don't want to look at anything. They just want an open parking lot and no development. And this is the resident's view to his home, just to let him know that, hey, we're not able to see into your house, and we have trees that are screening, and you know, we're not looking down into your window, we're down into your pool. And then lastly, I wanted to show that this is the other side when we're looking downslope that we are not able to see in any way, shape, or form into anybody's apartment. I'm 32, my eyesight's pretty okay. I don't think I could see 150 feet away into somebody's backyard, even if I tried, let alone some of our individuals who are staying in memory care. So with that being said, if there are no specific, and I'm just going to scroll through here, I wanted to have all of this available in case anybody had questions about fire, parking, traffic, noise. As I mentioned, we take these concerns very seriously, and we've bent over backwards to address them. We recently met with a lot of the members appealing this project who are forcing us to go to a city council vote on July 20th. And the end all be all of that conversation was that they simply don't believe our reports. They don't believe our acoustical analysis. They don't believe our traffic analysis. They don't believe our height analysis. And they think that we're just lying. So that's a hard thing to battle against when we're providing them information and they're not interested in hearing it. So are there any other questions on the project before I kind of do my hat in hand call to action for this group?
Does this project have a buy-in when you go into rent?
Could you clarify that question for me?
Sure. Oh, some of the assisted living places I've looked at, you have to pay them like $200,000-$300,000 as a buy-in, and then you pay your additional rent per month.
No.
Okay, great. That's really good. And I wanted to tell you, I just toured the Wellington, and your price that you quoted, I mean, I know it's now, and it could be 3 years from now. Theirs was almost the same. It was studio was $4,430.
That's great to hear. And as I mentioned, that rate that we developed was 100% based on market rate for Southern California, similar demographics, similar median income levels. So I'm glad to hear that it does independently live up to that.
Yeah, you're right in the ballpark.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Anybody else have any? Oh, yeah. Go ahead, Liz.
I think it's incumbent upon all of us to write, email the Anaheim City Council in favor of this project, but we cannot do it as a member of this committee. We have to do it as individuals. We can, you know, you can indicate you're a member of the committee, but you can't write as a member of the committee, only as individuals. But if we're going to be writing or emailing these letters to the city council, it would be helpful to have a template as to what we should be including in our letter. What points? And I hope you can provide us with that. I really think every one of us should be writing in favor of this. These people would be lucky to have this rather than something else. And as pointed out, something else will be put here. And I can't think of anything better than this, frankly.
Good point, Elizabeth. And I was going to remind everybody. And what we could do is when we were supporting Gary Frazier, some of his projects, he would send out a letter who we would, like an email copy of who we would send it to. And then we would support it that way. And you're right, it has to be as an individual.
Right.
I would be grateful for that opportunity, and I would be happy to send that to you, Elizabeth or Chairwoman Stink. We definitely have templates that we're ready to share and ready to activate. And we do agree, you know, this is a much needed use. We think it's the highest and best use. The City of Anaheim staff thinks it's the highest and best use. And between all of us, I think that it's very sad that we have to defend the need for senior living and senior housing. My girlfriend's mom is dealing with dementia, and it's been the hardest thing for her to find somewhere to take her that's local, that's reasonable, that makes sense, because all of these communities have been pushed out. And with that being said, I kind of want to move here to our call to action. So I think this is pretty cool. On the left-hand side, we have a QR code on your screen. And if you have a cell phone, you can pull out your phone and scan the QR code from this presentation on the left, and it will pull up a petition that we have actively circulating right now for this project. We have over 325 signatures and over 90 supportive comments that are talking about the need for senior housing. So if that is something that you all are interested in doing, we would really appreciate it. And as I mentioned, that's on the left-hand side of the screen, and that will pull up the petition straight from your cell phone. On the right-hand side is an Anaheim City Council and city staff QR code for an email. However, based on this conversation, I think it makes more sense for me to send the contact information to Elizabeth as well as a template, and then she can forward that out appropriately to the rest of you. Last but not least, you know, as I mentioned, our biggest struggle is warm bodies in the room. For people that are opposed to this project, who believe that it is fundamentally ruining the fabric of their community, they are going to be lining up and sitting for the city council meeting, and they're going to be there all day. And they're going to say anything that they need to say to talk about how terrible it is to have this community in their backyard. If any of you are interested in attending the city council meeting on July 20th, please, please consider doing so. It's at 5 p.m. It is in person, which I know is difficult, and I anticipate it will be a long meeting, but having warm, supportive, vocal people in the room is really what we need. Chairwoman, do I have your permission to put in the chat here our project website as well as my contact information?
Oh, sure. I don't see any problem with that.
Thank you. So I put in our website here in the chat. It's holdenanaheimhills.com. If you Google Holden Anaheim Hills, we are the number one response. I've also put my email, and I've also put my office phone number for anybody who's interested in getting a hold of me. With that being said, you know, that is our project. It's one that we've been working on for many, 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 many months. And it's unfortunate that we have to go to a city council meeting, as I think staff had intended it to be dealt with administratively and through the planning commission. But our goal is to attend city council full force with all of the power of the process in our backyard.
Very good. Any other questions, comments? Okay. Thank you very much. I think it looks like a fabulous project.
I have a question. I know I come across as the village idiot, but how do I get that information on the chat? I wrote thank you, but how do I take that information rather than just write it down?
You can hover over it with your mouse and then right click, and it will say copy. If, okay, if you just drag your mouse across, you'll be able to copy it. And alternatively, Elizabeth, I'd be happy to email it all to you as well.
I think so, because I just did it, but I don't think anything happened.
That's no problem. I'll email you a template, the city council information, details on the city council meeting, this presentation, as well as all of my contact information.
Thank you.
Well, I think they'd be lucky to have you. And as to Jean's point, can you imagine what might be the alternative?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to keep down the traffic, that's the perfect way to do it. Bring in seniors. They're not going to be driving.
Right.
Are you going to have All you're going to have is a few deliveries and the staff coming in, going. That's it.
You know, just to throw out there, we do have a memory center in Yorba Linda. Beautiful. Built it a couple years ago. It's very, very nice. Never have we had anyone wander off, climb a fence, get into somebody's backyard, knock on a door. Nothing, nothing at all. In fact, you wouldn't even know they're there. Very, very quiet, low key.
Thank you. Thank you for that, Mr. Mayor. And we believe that this will be very similar to that. I mean, there's no safety concerns, right? We, as far as traffic goes, our traffic report, literally the words in the traffic report say that this will be insignificant. There's no impact. And the last thing I want to leave you all with is very recently, last night, actually, KTLA ran a story on this for the opposition, requested by the opposition. And that perspective, you know, and I'll share that story with you all. And the perspective of the opposition is, hey, we just remodeled our house and we believe senior living is going to destroy our property values. We think it's going to be unsafe and we don't want it. And, you know, that is what's being communicated on behalf of Anaheim Hills, is that Anaheim Hills does not want senior housing. We believe this to be the best, highest use of this site. We're dedicated to building a great project. And I'm so grateful for all of you, Mr. Mayor, Chairwoman, and fellow advisory members for allowing me this opportunity to speak to you. So with that being said, I'll follow up with Elizabeth, provide all of this contact information. And if there are any other questions, I'm happy to answer them. But if not, I'll be happy to get out of your hair and allow you to enjoy the rest of your meeting.
I would just
like the best of luck to you.
To everybody. He said that the city council meets Tuesday, July 20th. So we have to have our letters to them prior to that. I would say like Friday, July 16th would be good. So we really want to get on this now, but remember, we could only write as individuals, not as members of this committee. But I hope all of us write on behalf of this. I think this is just absolutely lovely thing. And these people should be happy, thankful that they have this option. But as you said, Zeeshan, they're going to oppose everything, no matter what.
Yep, that is correct. And I am totally standing by if any of you are interested in having a one-on-one conversation of this, if you're interested in touring the site, if you're interested in talking with our developer, we're totally accessible. Please, I will be living and breathing this project at least for the next few weeks here, and have been doing so for the last 18 months. So there's nothing about this project I don't know. And if anybody has any follow-up questions, please do reach out to me. But once again, thank you all. I really hope that you have a wonderful rest of the meeting. And I look forward to hopefully meeting some of you in person on July 20th.
Thank you so much. Excellent presentation, and the best of luck to you.
Thanks so much. Have a great day, everyone.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was a very good presentation. Thank you, Elizabeth, for bringing that to us.
Well, that was thanks to him who brought it to me. And I thought, yeah, I think all of you would want to support this.
Oh, definitely. Even if you don't want to support it, it's good to know about it.
Mm-hmm. But why do you not want to support it?
The problem for us is going to be none of us live in Anaheim Hills.
That's the issue, Elizabeth. When you say, why would everybody support it? Everybody here doesn't live there. If you live there, then you carry more juice, because that's your backyard, period.
Right. And so
they're going to say, Who are we and what do we know? We don't live there.
That was what I said to Zeehan. I said, but I don't live there. I live in Mission Viejo. He said, no, they are the opposition, are bringing people in from far away. So I said, oh, okay. Because my first thinking was, you know, but I don't live there. But since the opposition is bringing in people from far away, then that's why he's coming to us.
Yeah, this is a common sense approach, and he's using excellent logic, especially that the diagram that shows the guy still has a view. They're just being unreasonable, and that will come out. When you're showing that people are being reasonable, they're trying to work with them, they're bending over backwards, and they're just saying, no, we don't want anything. Well, you don't have that right because you don't own the land. You know, the landowner has a right to put up there as long as it's not offensive and it meets with the needs of the community. And this clearly does.
Well, it's the least amount of traffic we could possibly have. So this is the best bet for them.
They don't know what they could get, trust me.
Exactly. To your point, that's perfect. Because they could get some horrible thing in there that's really ugly. And then what are you going to do? Now you're stuck with it.
Hi, this is Amina here. I just want to make a couple of comments. It really saddens me to hear that folks are in opposition of a senior residential living home. I really want to hear from the opposition, like, what is it really that they're against? I know maybe the housing prices will go down or somebody would go into their backyard, but what really is it that they are against? I just don't.
Amina, it's change. Yes. They're against change. It's a ripple in their pond, and they've had that pond for 50 years, and mm-hmm. now there's a ripple, and it's change. I told you the only people like change is a baby with dirty diapers, and that's the case here. They flat just don't want change. Well, yeah. You know what? That's not realistic, and you better get with it, folks.
Yeah, and
I liked his comment. He said, well, they just want to keep the church. Well, the church is empty. What do you mean you want to keep
it? That's why they want to keep it. If that church was doing business every Sunday and back, cars all over the place, it'd be a different story.
Right, yes. Right, exactly. All right, well, that was a very good presentation, as I said, Elizabeth. I appreciate it. Everybody keep your eyes out for, you know, good presentations, because we're always looking for something to talk about. But that was very good. And then when you get all the information, Elizabeth, that goes to you versus Jenna or whatever, to send it out to all of us. And then, as you said, we can each individually write our letter, but not as a representative of the group.
But it would
help. But you can say you're a member of the group, but you're writing this as an individual citizen.
Exactly, right.
We can say that?
Yeah, you can say that. You are a member. I'm a member of the Senior Citizen Advisory Council, but I'm not writing on their behalf. I'm writing on my behalf as an individual citizen.
So we were always told in the past we couldn't even do that. We couldn't even mention it.
Well, of course you can. You are a member of it. You don't have to. That's not a scarlet A. You're not representing them in this issue. You're representing yourself. But that's your experience. Right. That gives you credibility and a standing to say, I know senior issues. You know, I'm a member of this group. We study senior issues. I'm not representing them. I'm representing me. But you can't turn my knowledge off that we're exposed to what the senior issues are. And I'm surprised, and I guarantee you they're going to go for it. They have RENA numbers they've got to meet too. And this fits that bill.
Oh, I didn't even think of that, Gene. That's a good point.
Yeah. That's why it'll really go, because what these loons don't realize, that could be a 4 or 5 story apartment complex, you know, just a low income, affordable housing. I mean, they're stupid to turn this one down, really. But they don't know. They're ignorant. And they don't like change. Okay, get over it.
And then they're going to have all kinds of traffic problems if you have an apartment complex. Never enough parking.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so moving on then, we'll go to number 7, chair items. So this will be brief. I forgot to do it last time we met, so it's a little bit old information, but it's about the OCTA Special Needs and Transit Advisory Committee that I'm on, and remember that includes seniors in special needs. They talked a little bit about trips they've been providing for COVID, kind of the same numbers that she was giving us. The bus service, the bus ridership is trending up again now that COVID is sort of winding down. They reminded us that March was National Transit Appreciation Day. They are considering changing their name. I voted no. I thought they should just leave it the way it is, because they had some very unusual names they were coming up with. And not that I don't like change, but I just didn't see the point of it. The streetcar update was provided. It's going to be a nice project, but it's awfully expensive because it's only 4 miles. But whatever. The senior mobility program, they talked about the shuttle bus, the taxi, the ridership was way down, of course, during COVID, but now a lot of that's coming back. And the next thing is, the next meeting will be July 27th, at 1 p.m. and it's still all online. And if you want to, and you're interested, I can probably provide you the link because I think you have to have a link, of course, to get on. Any questions about that? Okay. And then I forgot to put this down, but for old business, we should discuss the presentation schedule. So we moved things around and Jean was real good about it. We can have this presentation. So Jean, are you still good for, let's see, it would be August?
Yes, August is all taken care of. OCTA will be on it.
Okay. And do you have a name or anything for the speaker?
Oh, gosh. I'll get it to you. Yeah, I do have it. I just don't know it off the top of my head.
Okay, so I'll add it to the sheet then. Great. And then September, I think we were talking about, Dave, you were going to do something on the mobile homes. Is Dave still with us? Maybe not. Okay, I'll write him an email and talk to him about it. Anybody have any other comments or suggestions for presentations? We still have October and November to fill. Okay. And then for number 8, announcements. Sad to say, I received 2 resignations yesterday. The first one I was very disappointed in was Gary Frazier is resigning. He wrote a very nice note. He joined the group in 1994, so I couldn't say anything to him that he was resigning. I think he felt like he put in his time. And then I also received a resignation from Scott Quinlan. And so we'll take their names off the roll. And then also, I'm going to have to check with Carolyn. I never received a resignation from her, but I noticed her name was crossed off the roll call sheet.
Yes, she joined what used to be the legislative committee.
Oh, okay.
Has a new name.
Okay. Well, just as a heads up for everybody, it's really helpful if you have to resign, which of course we don't want you to, but would you please let us know? And usually it goes through the chairperson, so we can keep track of this and keep our role sheet up to date. Otherwise, it gets very confusing for me. Okay, so Carolyn went to legislate. Okay, and then we'll go around the group and see what announcements any of you have or any discussion items you want. We'll start with Elizabeth. Do you have anything?
No, just that I hope everybody writes, emails a letter to the Anaheim City Council, let's say no later than Friday, July 16th, since the meeting is Tuesday, July 20th.
Good idea, Elizabeth.
But I think it would be helpful if we got some kind of template so we know what points. Helen, could you sort of put together a letter? I mean, you would be excellent, and so would Jean Hernandez be excellent. So we could sort of use your points and write our letter.
Could the two? You're excellent at giving work to others. I love that, Elizabeth.
I'm good at that. I can't remember how to pronounce his name. What was it? Cezanne? Didn't he say he was going to send us something?
He said what?
Yeah, I thought he said he was going to send us the president.
He was going to send some bullet points. That's what we use from there. Yeah, it's not real tough.
Yeah, no.
But just you made some very good points. I thought, ooh. So if you could sort of give us some.
I'm going to physically call 2 of my colleagues on Anaheim's council. I know them quite well. And I'm going to get a sense of what their thinking is. And I know they'll both are going to say this is a great project. I just know them both. So.
Okay. All right. I don't have the roll sheet in front of me. Who else? Jean, do you have anything you want to say?
No, but I agree with Elizabeth. I'm very irritated at this because this day and age when housing is an issue anyway for cities and for these fools to think that they can be isolated, nothing's going to affect them, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. And this is the best way to go, and they don't even realize that. So to get involved for this one sliver of an issue and ignore the rest of the world that's going on around them in their city. That's what I find interesting.
And I don't know if Linda Barcelona ever joined us or not. Okay, maybe not. How about Helen? Do you have any comments?
No, other than that we're very busy trying to provide a number of new senior communities in Orange County. We recently signed an exclusive negotiation agreement with City of Costa Mesa to build a new senior community on the parking lot of the senior center, which we think will be an exciting place. And we've also got another agreement with the City of Huntington Beach to provide a new affordable senior community. And just want to mention, because of COVID, we didn't have what would be traditionally a grand opening, but we recently opened last year 75 units for formerly homeless veterans at Heroes Landing. And we are working on new veterans communities, not specifically for seniors, of course, but many of the new residents are seniors.
Wonderful. Okay, thank you. Amelia? Jerry?
For the in-person, or still have the virtual, the meeting for the next meeting still virtual?
Yeah, as far as I know, everything's still going to be online.
Oh, okay.
And I know at the SCAC, they said that they thought the meeting, help me, Elizabeth, was it November or December?
November.
Oh. November, what they thought would be in person, but I haven't received anything for us, so I'm assuming we're still online.
Still online, okay.
Yeah, I'll let you know if it changes.
Very likely in November, we will be in person. Very likely.
For H&T committee?
Well, if it's for SCAC, why wouldn't it be the committees also?
I don't know. Well, because it was a special meeting. The party meeting or whatever.
Just let us know.
I will definitely let you know.
Okay. But remember, in December, we're always dark.
Yes. Okay. Nancy, do you have any comments?
No, it just is a beautiful, beautiful project. And I think we all should support this.
I agree with you. If you're interested, every once in a while in the paper, they'll have invitations to tour these facilities that are built, and they'll do like a wine and cheese tasting. So I went to, as I mentioned, the Wellington. And you really get a feel for what these projects are. And so not that you're going there to live there tomorrow, but you should know what's out there. And so many of them have a buy-in. And that's why I was surprised when I asked them that question and you didn't really know what I was talking about. And they're very expensive. Like Freedom Village, I've heard, is over $200,000 now. And if you die tomorrow, you don't get that money back. So any project that doesn't have a buy-in, to me, is fabulous.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Those are real estate deals, though, aren't they? Aren't you actually buying real estate when you do that?
You know, I haven't sat through the whole presentation, Gene, so I can't tell you the answers to that. But
yeah, I think it's like buying a house kind of thing.
But you don't really, what I was told, you don't really get your money back. Like if you die tomorrow and you sign the contract today, too bad for you or your family. And you still have to pay your monthly fee, and the monthly fee isn't any cheaper.
Oh, yeah, you're right. No, it's outrageous.
And there's a new one, I think, don't quote me on this, but I think it's in San Juan. And I thought I heard the buy-in was $300,000, and the monthly fee was like, I can't remember, but like $6,500 a month or something. I mean, it's outrageous.
Who's got can I interject? Sandy, let me give you the name of that presenter. I just text my guy. And it's going to be OCTA on highway programs that we've got going throughout this county. And his name is Chris Bouchley, B-O-U-C-L-Y. B-O-U-C-L-Y.
Chris, and is it Chris with a C or a K?
Chris with a C.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, and this is Amelia. So I agree with you, Gene. I live in Anaheim Hills.
Oh.
And this project is really a godsend to that neighborhood because if they don't do this, someone's going to come in and want to build dense housing or apartments. And I really think it's the best fit for the neighborhood.
You are so right. They are looking for open land like this, Amelia. The state is, and they're going to force you to start building that affordable low income there. And fortunately, seniors cover that category. So this is crazy on their part. Well, they just don't know.
So, Amelia, are you going to attend that city council meeting?
Yes, I will be there.
Good.
Well, that would be great. Sorry, I didn't realize we had anyone that lived there. Okay. Let's see. Then we have Jennifer never came on, did she? No. Jeanette, did you have any comments?
No further comments from me. Thank you, guys.
Okay. Nina, I don't think is here, right? And Dave didn't answer, so I think he's gone.
But Juno. Cynthia. You haven't called Juno.
I didn't call Juno?
Right.
Oh, sorry, okay. Juno.
All right. The other day, I happened to see some interesting YouTube in Korean language. Some person came on and describing more like a DIY type how to get in to low income housings. Start to the beginnings, what the qualifications are, and how to maintain the applications and where to go. It's really specific. My question, have you heard any other communities in Chinese, in Vietnam, or in other Indian communities? I'm just wondering how this information will affect the minority communities. If the person who are explaining the program, I don't think the person was a nonprofit or any organization. It was a individual. Maybe this person is thinking about making receiving some compensation, disseminating the information or not. I was surprised to see, I was wondering what the effect will be. But that's all.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Hi, this is Amina here. I just have a quick comment to what Juno was talking about. I think a lot of times I work at the community center here at the Cambodian Family. And what we do here with a lot of our residents, especially our seniors, we do a lot of education around scams with the elders, because they are very, folks out there are very, what's the word I'm looking for?
Gullible.
Yeah. So we just need to educate our elders, and that's what we do here at the center, because there's lots of people calling, especially during COVID, talking or asking for fundings or money for the vaccine clinics and things like that. And we have to really go out there and remind people that the vaccines are free, that you should not be paying for it. And then there's lots of people who like to do these videos or YouTube and whatnot, and to talk to people and convince them to do whatever. So that's something that we do here at the center, to educate our elders too about the different scams that's going on. So that's what we do here. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Let's see, Cynthia?
I would like to just add something.
That
Willie Horton, when asked, why do you rob banks? And he said, well, that's where the money is. Well, why is it that seniors are
being inundated with all these scams. Well, that's where the money is again. So unfortunately, seniors seem to be so gullible. It's sad.
Well, I don't even know if it's just they are gullible, but also the tricksters have gotten very proficient at what they're doing. And you can get tricked very easily without even being gullible. I mean, I've had it happen to me a couple of times, and all of a sudden I'm into it, and I'm like, wait a minute, this doesn't sound quite right. And then you realize that they just walk you along, and it's just very easy to be caught up in it. Mm-hmm. All right. Cynthia, did you have any comments? Maybe she's gone. And Denise is gone. And I don't know, is John? I've got John on the list. Is he still with us?
John.
It said John, the print's so small, U-L.
Oh, no.
He's not here either?
Right.
Okay. So I think I polled everyone, right? Mm-hmm. I miss anybody? Okay. So our next meeting will be August the 12th, 9:30. Online. Any other comments or questions? Thank you all for everything you do for seniors. Keep up the good work. We need it. And have a wonderful rest of the day.
And we're all writing that letter. Okay.
And I'll write your letter, or else Elizabeth will come after you.
Better believe that.
Elizabeth will probably take role next week because you wrote your letter. And she's right to be like that. That's what works. Wasn't there an expression, Elizabeth, about something about talking or writing? How did it go? I can't remember now. I'll look it up. Like the greasy wheel gets the, I forget how it goes. Yeah. But Elizabeth is right. So everyone writes your letter, your email, whatever, and give their support. And hopefully Amelia can attend the meeting. All right. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.